The following may not be true. Any and all illegal activities should be assumed to be the fabrications of trained improvisers and taken as entertainment. Any offensive views or opinions discussed are likely the result of an inability to process context and intention over predisposition, and are not endorsed by any current or potential sponsors. In these cases, it should be assumed that the offensive material is likely the result of an emotional masochism within the observer. We assure offended parties it is not necessary to contact us in thanks. It is our pleasure to fulfill your want and need. Should the offended still feel the need to contact us, please do so at unopenedemail@yahoo.com. Thank you, and enjoy. Life.
With guitar!
We're back!
No, you're right!
Today, the exciting conclusion of episode 961 B.C. B. The half return of Trevor Austin. The full return of Logan Mihalko. And a full measure of Alex Coyne. It's the B-sides, y'all. You remember where we left off. We all went out to have a smoke. But then we come back in. And this is what happened. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Dude, Douglas
fuck it,
is
we'll
sage.
Do it live. Yeah,
we're
he
live,
is.
Live, sage.
Yeah.
Hey, you might be a shaman, Coyne, but he's a sage.
Dude, do you know what sage means?
I'm looking forward to the Merriam-Webster's definition.
I don't know. This is Joseph Campbell's definition, but the word sage, it's either in Chinese or Indian, I apologize, but the word sage means the silent one. So Shakyamuni, which was the Buddha's name, who sat under the Bo tree and like received enlightenment after basically like meditating as the storm of all life's deception assailed him. Basically, he sat there and he put three fingers to the ground to recognize the fact that he in fact has the right to be in the spot that he is in.
What country was this?
This is the Buddha. This is the story of Gautama Buddha.
In the Himalayas, right?
What year was this?
Ooh.
This is the foundational... This is like the crucifixion story of Buddhism, basically.
What year, though?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm just trying to, like, contextualize.
Not a historian.
Fair right. assessment.
Hey,
right.
I like
fair
what your head's at, because you know what? I love to love a story, but I don't always know the facts.
You don't need to. You just need to
exactly.
know the sequence of events
the facts,
and the moral
does,
of the story.
Yeah,
does,
exactly.
the year, does the year the enrich the message that much?
No, you That's, just need to
no,
learn the
it
lesson.
It doesn't. You're absolutely right. So I'm just, yeah.
Sorry, what did I start
the
out?
The continuity of this podcast is going to be like, dick jokes. Whoa, hey, we're going to take a quick break, and comes back to Coyne hitting us with philosophy,
yeah,
which
thank
is
God.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody that has a problem with it can go straight to hell.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Logan's on board.
Logan gets it.
As a Buddhist, I want to encourage the idea of hell as a complete fallacy.
No, it as a Christian, you know, I want to send him there.
No, very,
as a Christian, I'm comforted that he'll be burning there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, as a Christian, like, I see two gay people, and like, people are like, "Oh, that must bother you." I'm like, "Nah, they're gonna burn in hell." It makes me feel great.
Yeah, you don't even have to waste your sweet, precious prayers on it because
there's only so much room in heaven.
Dude, you just keep eating Chick-fil-A, and you hope that someday they'll see the
heaven's filled up.
I'm just saying.
Yo, when I see two gay dudes at Chick-fil-A, nothing makes me happy.
Given Trevor's,
like, they have a chance.
Given Trevor's track record with sin, I mean, he's very grateful anytime he sees someone below him on the food chain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like when I get to heaven and I'm at the pearly gates and they're like, "You think you're getting in here?" My first thing is to be like, "What about that guy? Those two dudes are gay. Why can't I do it?"
And exactly, that's what he would say. And that was a test and you failed.
Yeah.
Instead of taking responsibility for your own flaws, you point your fingers. And so
that's right.
Then you're going to cut to 20 minutes later, me doing a keg stand in hell being like, "This works too."
You'll
be surrounded by homosexuals.
That's exactly what happens in life, too.
Dude,
it's not just some
like
metaphysical.
You ever been to a gay bar? It feels
like
hell.
I've been to gay bars.
Doesn't it feel like hell?
Probably to you because you
like
have a
purgatory.
Dick in your ass.
What's the Thursday night mic before COVID?
Brewers.
Brewers.
They're my best audience.
Dude,
that's great.
That's a great.
They all want to fuck you, dude.
It's a great room.
Dude, they hear what I'm saying.
And, Sometimes if you get there at the wrong time and you're at there when the crowd starts to sparse out, it's
too
shitty,
much
like,
cigarette
it can be a good
smoke.
Room.
But I've won $50 there on a myriad of occasions. They've definitely bought me a couple bags of groceries.
Logan winning $50 is. Can you please tell us that story? Because
Logan
and stammered and said
so
some
good.
Super offensive
so
shit
good.
On accident.
I was talking about a homeless person, and instead of saying hobo, I said homo. It was like kind of
so
an accident.
So this hobo
but like,
on my street.
No, but nobody had a problem with it. You know why? Because
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
a nice
hilarious.
Guy, man.
Yeah.
I make friends with people.
And I think
you know,
that,
I'm a total asshole, and I've told. Fucking gay jokes.
Well, the context.
They like it because they're fun.
Yeah. The context of the joke clearly made it.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Say
and then later
everyone
on.
Everyone knew it was hobo.
Yeah.
And they laughed with you.
Because I said the wrong thing.
Because you said the wrong thing.
So
and
they
it was
pitied
a
you,
great
basically.
Laugh. It was a great laugh
yeah.
in the whole room. Everyone
you know,
was
hey,
like, this
hey,
guy
hey,
really feels
do,
bad.
Do you know that I really said it wrong?
Said it wrong?
What if that was my plan?
Then you're a damn
it?
Genius, bro. You got the genius in you.
You're
bro.
Full of
but
beans.
But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of beans.
I was there.
Going
the
on.
Night
you could
hobo
call it a Freudian
homo.
Slip if you want.
Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier. You're a Freudian scholar, and you think you're on mama's hot.
I'm on
Trevor, get the fuck off your phone.
Show me what a woman was.
She is hot.
But
she had them big jangling tits.
Sickening. Sickening line of conversation.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed
dude,
in myself.
No, you
haven't
you steered it
you
over here.
Seen her,
I'll wallow in the filth, man. I'm a pig.
Yeah,
yes.
Dude.
You basically have a curled tail.
Dude, is there anything better than calling a woman a pig?
No.
Dude,
there's so many things, brother. There's
not
so
even
many
one.
So
juicy delights.
Peeking
so
on
many
acid.
Juicy delights that.
Dude, there's peeking
top
on acid,
that.
Peeking on mushrooms, and then calling a woman a pig. Those
yes.
are the three
calling,
best
fucking guy.
Dude, that there you are, keg standing in hell again.
All right.
You're like, oh, it's great down here. I feel so enriched. Everybody here seems to resonate with me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're in the fucking volcanic marsh.
Trevor is selling out arenas in hell. And they're
yeah.
like,
This guy gets it.
Look at this fucking shit.
This guy
you found your audience, man. You found your audience.
Our bigoted views.
Oh, dude, all the shitheads are down there, and they're waiting for the bone, dude. If you listen closely and you put your ear to the center of like a seashell in the middle of the earth, you can hear hell chanting.
Goddamn.
Bones out. The people of hell are waiting, and I'll give them another 10 years before
we
I die.
Are boners.
Yep.
We.
That's what
are
my fans
boners.
Are. The boners. And when I arrive, dude, it will be an eruption, dude. Volcanoes.
A boner eruption. Obviously.
Like when I finally do overdose,
Jesus Christ,
volcanoes
missed.
Will erupt all
Trevor,
over because
Trevor,
I have arrived in hell to headline.
Eruption.
Trevor, listen to me. What if? Because hell is personalized for everybody. Hell is
fuck.
A state.
Oh,
is,
how do you
hell,
know? You
hell,
went. You went.
Hell is a.
Good
yeah.
What were the brochures
yeah.
like?
Hell is a compensation for like a pattern of speech or a fucking.
Yeah.
Unwillingness
so hell is
to look
for me
at
listening to Logan's Lisp the whole
yeah.
podcast. I've
that's
already been
exactly
there.
It, man.
I've already
I talked to
there.
You about things that
this
you don't know
hell.
About.
But hey,
oh,
Trev,
dude, I love
Trev,
Logan's
Trev,
history knowledge.
What if you choose a series of events in your life that causes a compensation of hell, but it's completely desolate and empty, and there's nobody at all to talk to? Period. Wouldn't that be yeah? Couldn't
yeah,
you just don't have anybody to fucking bark
yeah,
at?
Yeah,
you
would
don't
have
know
to be
you
in
ever
solidary
die.
Confinement.
Yeah, dude, why would you do that? Everybody knows I
what
thrive
if
on.
You were
yeah, retards. Exactly. So that's not hell for
you're
you. That's
Tom
fucking
Hanks.
Heaven.
I thought
that's
hell
like a
was
Trump.
Where we all
you're
went.
Just imagining heaven as a Trump rally with monster trucks and fucking
oh,
people who would
dude,
like your comedy.
That does sound nice, dude. Yeah, that does sound like a place I'd like to be.
Your
monster
hell,
trucks.
Your hell is Tom Hanks in that
dude,
FedEx movie.
Dude.
Whatever hey. The fuck, you know what I mean? When Tom Hanks couldn't save the plane, but later he was Sully.
Oh,
whatever flight? That was.
No, that's.
Oh,
Sully.
Are you talking about?
No, who was Sully?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
Sully.
No,
you're
it's,
thinking
it's
of Denzel.
Denzel was Sully, but Tom
yeah,
Hanks.
Yeah, don't erase black culture.
No,
like
no,
that
no, no,
on,
no, no,
on
no, no,
our
no, no,
show,
no,
dude. Don't
dude,
do that.
Tom Hanks was Sully. Denzel was a coke addict pilot.
Yeah, and it was a much better movie because John Goodman was in it. And anything John Goodman touches turns to gold.
Me and Logan know some real shit. Trevor just talks.
but anyway, I had a fucking... What were we talking about a second ago?
Well, I was just saying that...
talking about the plane.
No, no, I went Sully. No, okay, so
before
Trevor's hell
yeah,
is being
people's
Tom Hanks
knows.
is Tom Hanks on that island with the Ball Wilson.
Nobody around him. Yeah.
That Ball Wilson. He's just screaming at a fucking volleyball his whole life because no one's there to F him.
Yeah, nobody's there to give him validation or feedback.
That's right, that's right.
Oh. Luckily he has a coconut, though. Coconut oil is great lubrication.
I
no wonder he's so attached to that coconut. He was jerking him. He was jerking that little Tom Hanks fucking pedophile COVID dick.
Dude, yeah, everybody says Tom Hanks is a pedophile. I'm just being a rhetorician. I'd be bummed out if that's true, but like that's what people are fucking saying, man.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Tom Hanks was a... not COVID dick?
No.
Tom Hanks molests children.
That's what people were saying, dude.
Yeah, it's on QAnon. It's one of the things.
Yeah, dude. He was on Dan Carlin, and then Dan Carlin said something about Epstein, and he coughed.
You, man.
Is that talking badly about me again, or are you going to leave early?
I'm leaving in
15 in 15 minutes because he doesn't realize this thing's so informal he can just say that.
Yeah, I'm leaving in 15 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
I wrote it down on a piece of paper and handed it to Aaron like, hey, I got to go home early today.
It's like, is it cool? Because I think my mom will call if I need to.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to thumb some puss, dude.
Your mom does have to.
Yeah, everyone else is out here fingering, dude. I'm out here thumbing.
Thumbing it.
That's because his fingers are in the butt.
Oh, yeah, dude. I do the reverse shocker, dude. Two in the stink, one in the...
an arcane line of conversation. And if anybody here listening to this could see my body language as this is happening and just the general frown on my face.
I can attest. Bring
us back to this. Coin and I are both womanizers.
Low conversation unfolds.
Coin and I both fuck the same. I'm type of chicks, slumped. The same amount of chicks, and here's the difference. He's polite and I am not.
And the difference is most of what Trevor just said is not true.
Yo, bro. Don't try to cover it, dude.
It's a very polite thing to say.
Yeah, ask the doctor. Exactly.
The doctor?
Yeah. Dude.
My Instagram handle is YoungThoughtDoctor. Dude. So
my incoming mail is syphilis positive.
Well, you've got a lot of incoming mails.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, nice. I get it. Yeah, I'll fuck dudes, dude. Yeah. On the boat. Once you said I was already going to hell, I was like, all right, I'll fuck dudes.
Trevor, hold on.
The only reason I wasn't fucking dudes was to avoid hell and keep enjoying chicken sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. If I can't have both those things, I'll fuck dudes.
Well, I mean, listen, you can still eat the chicken sandwiches. There's probably gay people going there.
Wow, gays love that.
I don't want to let it slip. I don't want it to just slip on by the fact that Trevor said we're exactly alike when it comes to relating to women. I just don't want to let that, like...
He's stuck on it.
Affirmatively, fall into the fucking...
If people listen to this podcast, they'll hear you... Be like, hurrah! Every time he says something, you know, they'll be like,
let me make this plain and simple. Wait, our penises have touched like fingers in a Chinese finger trap 20 times.
It's a joke, meaning that Trevor said a lot of offensive things and you've never once agreed with them.
You're the yin to my yang.
Yin is yang.
And like, if we both fuck an Asian opposite. Chick, you'll call her by her name and I'll call her a yang. So, like, that's
God damn it.
God, Trevor.
God damn it.
Please just eat more MSG.
What is that? Oh, yeah, Chinese food. Dude. Yeah. Does Chinese pussy have MSG?
Hey, Reggie. Only if you Reggie's, order it. Reggie, please get on Trevor's social media and encourage him to eat more MSG so he gets a set of tits on him and he goes young.
What are y'all's thoughts on Chris D'Elia? I actually would like to know. Dude. Speaking of
you mean the rumors about him or just him as a comedian? Yeah.
No, not him as a comedian. We all know he's trash. Dude, I'm talking about the rumors.
Well,
dude,
I don't think he's trash at all. Dude, I paid to see him in Boston.
Yeah, no.
I watched Barry Hannibal Burris at fucking Arizona State. He absolutely just...
Yeah, I paid to see him.
Did he open for Hannibal?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
When I was going to Arizona State, he did the small student arena.
He doesn't write.
No, he does.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't write. He just goes up and talks.
That's kind of what I do.
A little, like I write down ideas so I don't forget.
Yeah, but it's not because he doesn't know how to write.
Yeah, he still knows how to read English.
It's because we both have long hair, big sticks, and 16-year-olds want to fuck us.
He doesn't write out his material, is what I'm saying.
He's the Jay-Z of comedy, you're trying to say.
Yeah, but like Dane Cook was like that, too. Like Dane Cook.
So he's the Dane Cook of comedy.
Yeah. You could say that.
I'm sure he's thrilled right now. I'm sure Chris D'Elia is thrilled right now. Three hacks from Pittsburgh are like, yeah, you're just another Dane Cook.
I respect Dane Cook.
No, but I respect them both. But they're like in the same school of comedy thought. And Dane Cook. That I kind of am, you know. Yeah. And like I write so I don't forget things. But like I always try to start with new shit, and people have told me that's not like not a good thing to do, but like it helps me empathize immediately with a crowd, and like normally I can get myself out of trouble.
Okay, traditionally it's not a good thing to do, but after having watched your act so many times, it's perfect for you.
For me.
It's perfect for you because what's funny about you is like the hardest you've ever made me laugh on stage, and believe me, you've made
me
laugh.
Just making
you've
shit
made
up.
Me laugh really, really hard.
When I agree.
You lose your place. You're at your very.
I
funniest.
Go off on like no. stupid.
That's
tangents.
Where you got your biggest line, which is like, I'm gonna burn it here on the podcast. Is like, I'm not a very funny comedian, but I'm hilarious.
That's the samurai sword, man. Dude, nobody's gonna listen
right.
to this.
My favorite.
What, is it gonna go on his
special? I mean, like, I'll be all right.
You're right,
dude.
You're
I'll right. be all right.
Suck my cock
right. Like, I don't like.
Y'all are racist.
I don't like telling my own bits on here, but like.
You're right.
I'll, dude, and people won't even if people heard it. And they somehow go to a show,
it's
they're
so
not going to be
live.
Expecting it, and I'm going to stab them in the gut with it.
My favorite Logan Mahalko said is 51st jokes of 2020, last January.
Yeah,
and
dude.
You were out in the alley smoking pot. Derek Minto comes. He's like, he calls you, he announces you, and he gets pissed as fuck. He's like, where the fuck is Logan Mahalko? This is bullshit. It was you were like 27
right
on the
there.
List.
Yeah.
And so somebody runs out to get you, and he's
dude,
like,
no,
he has,
I was
he
like
has
48.
Five. He has 5 seconds, and he literally counted down 5, 4. You sprint up to the stage. You don't know what the fuck you're about to do. You're telling material, and then you're like, hold on. You take a puff off your fucking inhaler.
I love it on stage, the inhaler.
You're breathing heavy. You're like,
Yo.
Dude, I had asthma as a kid, dude. I empathize with your asthma situation, dude. I definitely had it for that.
One of my favorite comedy stories, and I'm going to tell this before I dip out, y'all Reggie's. So Alex Coyne, who's with us here tonight.
Yep.
So I'm at the Parkway Theater, and I ran to my car. I don't know. I was probably doing a bump of coke to get ready and get my energy up or whatever. And I look up.
I know you well enough. That's not your gig.
Yeah, right? Okay.
I mean,
I get what you're
saying. I'll let
you just
do
keep
it.
Believing that.
I should shut up and let you tell a story.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Yep.
So I look out my window, and I see Coyne outside of the theater, and he is like kind of hunched over and doing this deep, deep breathing, like, and I, you know, I was like a month into stand up and was like, oh, I know that guy. I think his name's like Alvin, you know. I was like, you all right? He had his headphones in, but I didn't know that. I was like, are you all right? And I said it like, four
Alvin!
Times. I was like, are you all right? I yelled it like 3-4 times, but his headphones were in, so he didn't hear me. So then I start like sprinting full speed because I thought he was having a heart attack. And then after knowing Alex for as long as I do, he was doing warm-up like breathing exercises to get ready to go on stage in a minute. But I sprinted at him and thought he was having a heart attack and like grabbed him and was like, are you okay? And you looked at me like, yeah, I'm fine, dude.
Like, yeah, he's like, this is an extra.
You were like, are you okay? You look like you just did a bump of coke in the car. You know? That was one of my favorite. When you used to do that, I remember another time at Scarps, you were in the back room doing breathing exercises and like getting prepped up and ready to go on stage in like 2 minutes. And I put Eye of the Tiger on my phone and slid it in the door and
nice.
Just walked away. So like, dang. Dang. I was like, no. Now you're ready, dude.
Dude, I do believe in that. I believe in oxygenating your body. What is talking? Talking is an expulsion of oxygen. Your
well, so is breathing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're taking your space between to breathe in, but like the act of talking is breathing out. So
yeah, it's
like,
more aggressive.
I want my blood to be oxygenated. So if I really have an idea that I want to chase down to the end, and I don't, you know, that breath between the. There's just no room for a junction of an inward breath. So, like, opening up my diaphragm, making sure there's lots of oxygen in my blood, whatever the effect is that, like, if I do that every night, obviously I'm, like, triggering my fucking flow. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not making
fun of it because I make fun of everything, but, like, I'm certainly not knocking it. Like, I've seen it make plenty of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, sometimes
you're getting into a space.
Do that. Like, when I did the Contra Theater with Ed Bailey and Dan Alton, Dan Alton headlining. Dude, if you want to check out my stand-up, if you're, like, intrigued by me at all, please check out that video from the Contra Theater on my YouTube channel.
What's the title?
What's your YouTube channel?
What's the title?
My YouTube, if you just type in Alex Coyne on YouTube, stand-up.
Coyne.
And, dude, I did that breathing. It was the dead of winter, totally sober, did that breathing, got in a deep zone, And it's just a big round theater with fucking balconies. Like, I've never done anything like that before with people just like...
Yeah, big, it's a big room.
Big fucking room. Compton Theater, Cranberry, like a 300-seater. And I'm like, you got to like use your body really well looking around.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, I tapped into the... I was on fire from bell to bell and it felt great.
I
live right next to the Contra.
Really?
Have you been there to see shows and shit?
I thought that was in Cranberry.
It is, but my grandma lives in Riverside. It's like a 20-minute drive.
I thought you lived all the way, but
now I did used to, but now I live with my grandma. She lives in Riverside. That's in between Elwood and Cranberry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that a sick room, though? Dude, it's really cool. Dan Alton crushed. Ed Bailey fucked it. Dude.
Ed Bailey is a stud, dude.
His mic died during his set, and he just started fucking with people on the top balcony.
Talk about a guy who doesn't need material.
Yeah.
I've seen him do 45 minutes without, like, maybe he had some shit that was written. I couldn't tell. And, like, it just seemed like he was just going off the vibe in the room for 45 minutes. It was very impressive.
I destroyed before him. Like, I had probably the best set of my life before him.
And
he came up and just came up and, like, chilled him out a little bit.
I featured
his
for
mic
him.
Died, and he literally still just smacked. No.
I featured for him in a redneck-ass area. He was the only black person within 300 miles. You know what I mean? And I went up, and I thought I had the best set I've ever
turned
had.
Square miles.
Ever. I crushed. I ran over. Like, they wanted me to do 20. I did probably 25. And I was like, me with my ego, I was like, let's see what you can do with that. You know? And he walked up there and fucking blew me off the fucking water. No one even remembered my name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just destroyed for 45 straight minutes. And I'm telling you, I didn't recognize, because I had seen him like 2-3 times, I didn't recognize a repeated thing. Maybe it was some like backlog material, but most of it was just crowd work, and it was so impressive.
All of us know Blue Dust, which is a local Pittsburgh mic. Used to be, was it Tuesdays?
It used to be Sundays.
Sundays and Tuesdays. Regardless, you go down there, and some nights it's good, sometimes it's bad. We're down there, and there was like, two couples, and that's it. That's like the whole
fucking crowd. I talked to a lady on a bike one time.
Exactly. And so we're all down there telling our jokes, and Ed shows up mid-show, and he's the last guy. And I'll tell you what, like, he worked those two couples. Like, he just went into it. I don't understand being able to do that crowd work like that. Like, he worked them to the point where they were in stitches. You know what I mean? And he started off offensive. He got them.
This is how he rolls, dude.
He got them mad at him, and then he convinced them they weren't mad, and that is a huge skill set. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Is he peacing out?
Respect to Ed Bailey, dog.
I don't know. He's too stupid to tell us. Sorry, that was
a secret agent, man.
Inside. I'm
stretching. I'm touching the roof because I'm really tall.
Yeah.
You guys want me? While we're in this little intermission, you want me to play some Didge? You guys cool with that?
You can play Didge. Me and Logan will talk
about it.
All right, you start talking.
I'm not
going to
say anything criticizing.
We're not critical people.
Yeah.
Go ahead, start, and I'll.
You Didge it, but hey, take this mic and dip it down as deep as it'll go, so you can play your Didge near it.
Can I put my Didge up on the chair?
Chair Didging.
I'm going to piss real quick. You guys talk a little bit and get
talk amongst yourself. Yeah. Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island.
No, it's a state of the union. It's a place.
That was a callback. From my own life. So obviously it's not legit callback because we didn't talk about it. But so when you were growing up, did you watch SNL, Saturday Night Live, that is to say?
Yeah, a little bit.
So... you, with your family, would stare at the television, the old glow style, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
So, what's the guy who did Austin Powers? The listeners are fucking hating us right now.
I know. No, but I'm not good at that usually.
What is his name?
I always think of him as Austin Powers.
Exactly. Austin Powers guy. What the...
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, regardless.
We're terrible people. I'm sorry we're failing you out
there.
We're
failing. Okay.
But we don't know, and we're just going to keep talking.
Right. Well.
Go to hell.
I had a path. Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
God damn it.
No, I lost the
call him. I hate to call him Austin Powers. Mike Myers, I did it. Yeah, thank God. Thank God.
Mike Myers. He's a great guy. He's awesome.
So Mike Myers was on Saturday Night Live as a cast member. And he used to do this character called the something lady. I can't remember what it was. And they had
cable. The church lady?
No, it was different. They had a cable access show.
Tuba lady?
The trope was, and it was a cable access show, that she was this old Jewish lady, and she would have guests on.
Okay.
And she would say, she would get emotional about things.
Okay.
Like, their guests would talk about things, and then she would get really emotional, and then she'd go, I've got a little bit of schmilkus in my galoptogozoink. Talk amongst yourself. I'll give you a topic. Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island.
Okay. All right. I think that popped up on Netflix during one of the best of.
You watched SNL, right?
Yeah, a little bit. We didn't watch a ton.
What cast was like the cast that you like remember when you started in?
We watched during the election between McCain and Obama.
Okay, so that's who was on cast? Can you think of any?
I like McCain more than Obama. Hey,
that one fat dude, you know? He played the mayor of New York's son.
Dude, the dig is getting... Okay, so for our listeners, this is live didgeridoo from Alex Coyne.
Dude, did I ever tell you about the time I went to Australia?
This is the perfect time.
I think so. I think it might be. You know, koalas are neat. we barely even got to talk to one. He was just hanging out in the ocean. Not the ocean, but the tree. All right. But yeah, we went to a couple of zoos. Koalas are hard to like find because they like sleep a lot of the day, and they just eat fucking eucalyptus, so they end up in the tree. There is eucalyptus. Did Trevor leave?
I don't care.
I mean, because like I maybe want to tag in at that other mic because this one goes dead on me every now and then.
Well,
I think I bump it. I'm a fucking idiot. It's probably because I'm an animal.
It's the headphone thing.
Probably because I'm an animal.
It's because we're walking out of an Altoid can as our amplifier.
I like that Altoid can. It has character, though. You know? But, dude, so like me, I was 19.
Oh, wait. I want to set the scene.
Okay.
A young Logan Mihalko boards what airline?
We boarded,
Australia Air.
No. It's Spirit Airlines. That's their airline.
Logan Mihalko boards Spirit Airlines on his way for a 15-hour trip.
I think.
What's the old airline?
Like you know.
Qantas.
No, Qantas is the Australian one. Qantas is literally the Australian one.
Yeah, that's his from Rain Man.
They are Australian, and they go between Australia. Like, they have the best first class when you're coming from Australia to America. I took name some airlines. Go.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
I'm
self-conscious.
What did they serve you on your 15-hour flight?
They served us some kind of weird peanut butter chicken. So me and my cousin didn't eat that shit.
Okay.
And the dude who was I was in the middle seat. My cousin was in the aisle. I was playing like Civilization, Sid Meier's Civilization on my computer most of the flight. Like, I was an asshole, and I just opened up my computer. It was a fucking Alienware, so it just lit up the whole cabin with neon light, and it was nighttime, and we're supposed to be sleeping. Fuck you, people. I'm playing video games.
Not internet.
No, I'm just playing by myself against the computer.
Gotcha.
I wish my laptop didn't break. I really missed that game. It's great. So I'm doing that, and the guy sitting next to me, the entire 15-hour flight, he didn't get up once, and he drank every beverage that was offered to him, and he ate every single meal. Like, it made me and my cousin think he was an air marshal. He just fucking hung out like a cop in the stakeout. It was crazy.
That
it was
weird.
Crazy. He didn't sleep either. He didn't sleep once.
How do you know?
Because I didn't sleep either.
So,
That's how I know.
So he was looking at you going, this
guy. I was playing video games. He was just awake and weird hanging out. Okay. And he couldn't get out, and he didn't. Maybe he was too shy to make me close up my computer and stand up and shit, but it was crazy. We We think he was an air marshal. Also, when you go in Australia, you have to fill out like a little pamphlet that says that you're not bringing in any foreign animals or vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing cereal for our little cousins because American cereal is really expensive in Australia.
What was the cereal?
We had all kinds. We had fucking Cheerios. We had Apple Jacks. We had Honey Nut Loops.
Cheerios?
We did, literally. We had Fruity Pebbles, a lot of like Cocoa Pebbles, shit like
no
that.
Because no one's going to put up with regular Cheerios.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, we got like a whole smorgasbord. We went to Costco and we got like all the big boxes of all the different types of cereal they had.
I love it.
Yeah. And so my cousins were always pumped up about that shit. There were toys and shit in there. Like my grandma fucking, they're the littlest cousins and they're all the way around the world. So she fucking gets them when she can, you know?
I feel like we've glanced over this particular portion of the story. You're going to Australia visit family.
Yeah, my
now,
uncle
this
lives
is your
there.
Uncle.
He's an expat, basically.
Biological on your dad's...
On my mother's side. He is my mother's youngest brother. My mother's the oldest, and she has and then she has a younger brother.
Why did he go to Australia?
He went there for various reasons. He is an astroturf field designer. He made a couple fields that were in the Olympics. Like, there was a water polo.
Dude, that's pretty crazy.
No, literally. There was... He originally went there to make Australian golf courses because they live in a desert, so they don't want to waste water. So he made turf golf courses. He did that. He made a Union Jack Olympic turf, polo field for the some kind with the Olympics in London. But anyway, he figured out that if you put water on a turf water polo. Or not water polo, but normal polo.
Yeah, you have to have water on a water polo.
No. Yeah, you literally have to. But if you want artificial turf to work better on a normal polo, like a field hockey field, you put water through it so that it makes it so that you can scoop through the grass easier and you can grab the ball.
And you can slide without getting rug burn.
Like normal
that makes sense.
Field hockey or whatever.
Well, like if you think about it. Water's a lubricant.
Yeah, it's crazy. He made artificial lawn turf. He made some kind of paint that if it is hit by the light, it turns a different color, and then if it's dark, it's another color. He has a couple like patents. It's neat. But he just moved to Australia because there was more work for him there, and his company got bought by a company there, and so he does a lot of he'll go to Germany, or he'll come to America, or he'll go to like England. Like he does deals all over the world. It's neat. But he lives in Australia, and we went there. That was really fucking dope, man. We went to the suburbs of Melbourne. And dude, I had the best meal of my life there in a movie theater. We went to a movie theater.
You got the Zoob Tube?
Yeah, I do have the Zoob Tube. I'm sure you can smoke indoors.
We're in Australia now.
Dude, it was fucking awesome.
I've never heard you do those power whales. I love that.
Australia's a neat, really neat place. It's like they're living in the 1950s compared to here.
It's Cuba? Yeah,
a little bit. It's probably more like the 1960s now, but they're culturally, they're a couple decades behind us. They're like more culturally conservative. They're a little bit more racist. They're more family oriented than we are. A lot of weird little things like that. They got a whole deal about the Aboriginals. It's weird. My aunt's 1/8 Aboriginal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you can't even tell.
I was very fortunate. I was able to go to Taipei, which is close to Australia.
It's a big long flight too.
Taipei being in Taiwan, Taiwan being an island off the southern coast of China.
My grandma went there for work a lot.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And while I was don't worry about it.
I know, but I felt bad.
But. But while I was there, I stayed in a hostel, an Airbnb. It was a great...
Both or one and the other?
Well, a hostel,
You got it through Airbnb,
exactly.
But it was a hostel.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it was like this big three-story building with like an open center inside the building and you could look down from your room.
Like a courtyard.
Yeah, but it was indoors the whole time. You could look down from the courtyard. I mean, Taipei is an entirely different landscape. I could spend an hour trying to describe how it's different from ours. But the point being was, is there was an Australian guy staying there.
Yeah.
And me and him kind of got to be buddies, essentially, you know, because there was probably 5 hours out of the day.
Do you remember his first name?
I don't.
It's all right.
It
was Ming Pei.
No, he was Australian. You weren't listening.
It's true. Okay, now that you're here, you can.
Guys.
Now that you're here, you can continue not listening.
Okay, guys, this is Trevor Austin. I was outside smoking a cig. I'm a little too drunk, and I'm leaving to try to get some puss.
Right, y'all. Now it's on record. The exact reason why we needed the didgeridoo. We figured that Trevor was.
You tried to neutralize the energy.
Yeah,
we were like, we need a constant buzz. We need a constant buzzing in the background. What could we do? Now I'm back. We don't need.
If we could sonically cancel you out, and if it requires a didgeridoo,
oh, I will end up canceled. I will. Hey guys, for the Reggies, next time I'm on, I'll let you know how it went. You can guys get all of the moist details.
Boys.
That's gross.
Hey, it nobody is. Wants
I'm
it.
Gonna make it gross,
nobody
guys.
Wants that to happen.
But there's certain words the that Reggies just sound do. Gross. It's not your fault. Moist sounds gross.
I might, yeah, my aunt thinks that.
I always thought finger was a gross.
I feel
word.
Like instead of a mic,
no,
you
know, finger, I think we finger's normal. Finger. Moist, gross.
Dude, I think fingers are grosser word than right. moist.
Yeah, finger.
Dude. I actually do.
If hey. You don't think so, how about I finger you?
No,
and then you
like,
tell me.
Your glass can be moist, like on the outside from condensation. You know.
Yeah, but getting fingered is fucking.
Did I ever tell you guys about, and Logan, I'm sorry, but did I ever tell you guys about the time that I, it was the first time I saw Sturgill Simpson after the show. I got fucked up with his bass player off alcohol.
Like it was crack.
Dude, you gotta do that shit sometime. So,
yeah,
alcohol?
Okay.
I tried
Kevin,
it
Sturgill Simpson's
like
first
it.
Bass player, Kevin Black, yeah. him and I got fucking lit, and I was just
K-Black, as we go.
And it was the first time I ever saw Sturgill. So then after he had to go back to the bus, I went to a second bar, and I met this girl. She was like, where are you staying tonight? And I was planning to sleep in my car.
And, all right.
And that's what I told her. I'm like, dude. Yeah, it was in Flagstaff.
I'm staying up at the Camry.
I lived
the Camry Inn.
The Tacoma Inn. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I lived in Phoenix. Trevor, please take those sunglasses off. I told you about my ADHD. You just have all these gravity magnets of attention.
Yeah, everybody pays attention to the butt. I'm leaving, y'all. I'm going to get some puss.
What was that garlic weed, dude? Throw some of that at Trevor.
Vampire killer.
Like, yeah, dude. Yeah,
garlic weed, vampire killer.
No, smell it.
Garlic weed is the same diff.
It has. That's vanilla, actually.
No, that's my shit.
Thanks for coming into the pod.
Hint of garlic.
I love. Smell like puss. So everybody knows I fucking love Trevor. He's one of my best friends. I harsh as mellow frequently, but that's only because he's bigoted and ignorant.
Somebody needs to do it. Yeah. Amen. Like I don't know.
Yeah, but you need my counterbalance to make, because sometimes if nobody checks you, you just start actually believing your own thoughts.
Yeah, definitely.
It's nothing short of fucking problematic.
Dude, I am thankful and grateful. I am. I truly am, and I appreciate it. And, guys, I mean, if you just want to tune in, turn off and drop in.
Tune in, turn.
Turn, drop off, drop out.
Tune in, turn.
Eat no. acid. Timothy Leary, that's the quote. Eat acid. Tune in, turn on, and drop out. That's it, guys. Thanks for having me. I can't wait. I'll be back at work whenever you need me.
Hey, guys. He's an unpaid regular for a reason. Let's give it a hand.
Yeah, and a recently fired contractor.
Yeah, dude.
Trevor,
take it
on
to
your
the
way
root.
Out, can you hand me one of those glasses with ice in them?
Take it to the wait, root.
Malcolm, you're definitely
bone
taking me home.
Root.
Once right. we get rid of him.
Hey, Trevor, will you give me another beer, please?
I got everybody. All right. Oh, I'm taking some of these.
Should we just sign off?
Don't let the just because I'm not here. Some people want to hear other people.
How much are people going to listen to? How long have we done? Like 17 hours?
Well, if you do more than 3 hours, a lot of people. Well, that's the YouTube limit.
I want the fucking.
Oh, do you go on YouTube? I've never seen you on YouTube.
Right here.
I have a half of one right here.
I usually watch on Spotify.
All right, because I'm taking
this. All right. Hey, Trevor. Not only do I wish you success, even though I often scoff at your remarks.
No, hey, man.
I wish you success in your pursuit.
We don't like you, but
we're
rooting for you.
Dude, the reason I make these remarks are for them to be scoffed at. I'm not looking for like genuine discourse here. You know, I'm looking for scoffs. Some comics go after laughs. Some go after gasps. I go after scoffs.
You go after
Homosexuals hit the truck stop.
Nice. Because
you drank that fucking that pocket of Logan's whiskey earlier with the bubbles.
I will have sex with a minor.
Yeah, he did.
I would like you to ask Logan a question. You
would like dude, this is a host.
All right.
I just fucked everybody.
Pass that. Put that on that chair. I'm going to fucking puff one into it. You want me to ask, can I have a minute to think about it?
No. You have 1 minute.
I'll talk about Australia.
Logan, want me to ask you a question? So I have to distinguish what's the most valuable
thing.
You got to
ask me a question.
Okay. I'm here to distinguish what's the most, the deepest wisdom that Logan has access to, and I want to lance the boil. You know what I'm saying, Doug?
I don't.
All right. Well,
I understand that you're trying to open him up.
Here's my question. I'm going to lance his boil of wisdom and fucking.
Dude, me and Coin have gone high behind hand bones many a time.
That's
true. Talked deep.
Right? Remember that dumpster? That's what I'm talking about. So.
I do remember the dumpster. I peed on it. The way it was around.
He remembers most things in his territory.
All right. Hey, Mahalko.
Yeah.
As far as embodying the law, embodying perfect harmony with the law of love universally, what's your penultimate definition of such a thing?
Of love?
No, of embodying the principle of love with your action.
Like just being a loving human being?
Indeed.
Yeah, how do you reflect love or give love to be reflected?
You try to make every interaction with people that you have meaningful, and you try to leave them with something that they'll think about later on that day. It can be a little piece of reassurance, a little piece of advice, or it can be like just a fun fact, or it can just be like just being nice to them. Just being fucking like we're all in this together. We don't gotta be fucking animals. Like these are other human beings, and you'll probably die and be them one other day.
Have you heard the saying?
all right, man. Knuckles for that shit. Yeah.
Have you heard the saying that no one remembers what you said, but everyone remembers how you made them feel?
Yeah.
That's essential. Yeah.
You remember what you didn't say, man.
Just try to touch people's hearts.
Throat chakra.
And it really is. Like, if someone says something that makes you feel really terrible, you might remember what they say.
For a long time.
Just so that you can dick around in your head with it. But if you make them feel well, then they'll just remember you.
And they sleep well that night, hopefully.
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 All right.
Unconditional love, I think, is the most valuable treasure that'd be found in the internal depths.
I have very big conflict with that concept.
Unconditional love?
Please explain.
You gotta earn love in Aaron Douglas' world.
Love and respect are initially given, but I would...
To a certain degree.
I would mostly subjugate that into the respect category. Love is earned. And that's it. But respect is initially given and then reflected. That's my thing. Give respect.
Immediate.
And if it's not reflected, then that person, you reflect the amount of respect. I don't know.
Your primary claim, or the primary claim that I was making, is that unconditional love is the penultimate treasure in the depths of your soul.
Well, and that's actually where I was going, because... there's a big hurdle there. I mean, if someone's a dick bag and you just dick bag back, they're going
to
always be dick bag. But if someone's a dick bag and you don't dick bag back, then they might be like, why is this guy not a dick bag like everybody else?
You ever listen to Nako Medicine for the People?
Nako Medicine? I have not. I think we can all safely say no one except for you has listened to Nako Medicine for the People.
Nako and Medicine for the People. That's his band. He has like a chorus in one of his songs that, what's it go? He says, "For they know not what they do." And of course, we all recognize that from when our buddy was getting, you know, tacked up there on the beams. You know what I'm saying?
Our buddy.
Yeah. You know your pal Jesus.
For they know. You know what I'm saying? That's a hype.
Yeah, for they not know what they do.
Yeah, dude, unconditional love, man. That's you wanna reach Nietzsche's Superman.
Dude, he's
that's,
just a dog. He don't know no better.
What about this obstacle?
He's just a people. He don't know no better.
What about this extremely obvious obstacle? Conditioning is the most proven basis of all neural function. So if a rat or a human wants to have a behavior and that behavior wants to be curved, then conditioning is the way to do it. So you can't just love someone for being a piece of shit. You have to condition them to be around you. And I don't want to tell anyone how to be what society wants. All I want to tell them is what they need to do if they want to be around me. And I know that sounds selfish, but I don't give a fuck. I only got one life. Let's do it my way. Quote Andrew Dice Clay.
I like that. I contend, and I feel I like where that is coming from, but I contend that you're... Just because you're in a state of unconditional love, it actually means that you need to have boundaries, not that you're like being in a state of unconditional love towards life itself, which includes all its beings, all the beings that are alive. You, in order to really do that, you need fucking boundaries. You know what I mean? They don't have to be exclusive. Actually, they can't be exclusive.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoa.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Yeah, I'm down for it.
Oh, my ears are going.
I did bad.
My ears are doing something. Can they hear?
It's all right. They can still hear us.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'm going to keep talking like nothing's happening in my ears. All right. So I think that's exactly right. Like, people are like, you got to earn respect. You got to earn my respect first, dickhead.
You have to maintain it. Yeah. I give respect to everyone upon my initiation of a relationship.
There's a certain level.
But they have to maintain it. If they see my respect as an opportunity to disrespect or take advantage, then I have to
lower it.
Lower my trust level with that individual. And after I lower that trust, I will give them opportunities to redeem themselves, but I will definitely pay attention to what the fuck they do with those opportunities.
Have you ever encountered a desert cactus?
Who hasn't? A desert cactus?
Say you go out west, Arizona,
I actually
Colorado.
Haven't been really out west. I went to California.
I actually have. We went and tried to smoke salvia. It was the regular plant. Didn't work with the shit, but we stood next to the huge Arizona cactuses.
One of the saguaros?
The big ones that look like dudes flexing.
Yeah, okay. Cool fact about it. I used to live in Arizona. I used to live in Phoenix. Dude, saguaros, for every... You know the ones I'm talking about? They're like this. They look like...
The guy's flexing.
Yeah, the guy's flexing. They're, dude, you cut one down, you're going to jail for sure.
No,
you're
it's a big fucking
yeah,
deal.
Dude, it's a federal... It's like, not a federal crime.
No,
it's a state
it is
crime.
A, yeah, so, dude... Each
are
arm,
they psychedelic?
Each arm.
No. It's just because they're like redwood trees.
Yeah, exactly. Each
it
arm.
It takes like 150 years for them to get like
that big.
No,
that
dude.
Big.
Listen to me. Every arm on a saguaro represents 200 years.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about,
dude. So they're sacred.
So if you're like getting drunk and throwing bottles at a cactus, you're like
fucking
up dickhead. Yeah, exactly.
You're literally like chucking a bottle at your fucking great 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 grandfather.
I didn't know that. I thought cactuses don't seem like they last too long.
No, fuck yeah, no, dude. They're
well,
like
no,
the
wait, wait,
though,
those psychedelic cactuses take like 35 years to grow.
Have you ever had a pet cactus?
I haven't.
See, yeah, that's why he don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyways, a cactus. Going back to this conversation about unconditional love, but also allowing yourself to have boundaries. The desert cactus, it has its flower, right? That purple bloom that happens.
Yeah,
in
yeah, yeah.
And some, like the the agave plant, which is responsible for the production of tequila.
Yep.
It blooms flowers once in its 80-year lifespan.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, that's why a lot of people make didgeridoos. That's why a lot of people make didgeridoos out of agave, because it's a really nice, it produces a really nice timbre for the fucking didge.
So wait, they make didgeridoos out of cactuses?
Agave plants, yeah.
I thought they were made out of like...
My teacher, Purangi, plays in agave.
Wood or bamboo?
Sometimes, yeah. Hardwood, eucalyptus.
Agaves are little tiny guys. They're little tiny guys.
There are plenty... My teacher, Purangi, he plays... Because they only bloom once in a lifetime and then they're kind of done.
They keep growing?
I don't know. I think they bloom once and then they're just kind of...
Do they become dormant?
Something like that. So a lot of people make didges. It's like one of the more sustainable ways to make a didge. Even though I really like desire a nice eucalyptus didge or something like that.
Do they make them out of bamboo?
Yeah, yeah. That's another... That's the most sustainable way, I feel like.
I know a really kick-ass bamboo patch in Pittsburgh. I'm talking like Dude, 35 foot tall bamboo.
I had a prank I wanted to do on the Riverside School. We played for Elwood. And I wanted to break in.
I made
in.
A chin-up bar out of it. It's big ass
chin-up
bamboo. No.
What's shame. A chin-up bar?
Chin-up bar.
Oh, yeah, your chin-up bar. I thought you said
cool,
a chin-up bar.
Yeah, no.
Where is it?
It's over in Hazelwood. Somebody grew, like, way back in the day, probably 20 years ago, they grew, like, a little Zen garden with bamboo. And now it just took over in the forest. It's just a spot in the forest.
And
you can tell there's, like, landscaping around it, but... I'm seriously, like 40 foot tall bamboos.
If it
like,
grows,
it's big around it. As your palm of your hand.
Yeah, what? No, and it'll just spread out from there. Eventually,
yeah,
they'll
like,
be
they're
everywhere.
Like three and a, they're like 3-inch bamboo.
Let's go there, because one of my great ambitions in life is to make digits. That's one of my
yeah,
like,
dude. I'll show you right where it's at.
The coin digits.
It's a sweet spot.
What were we talking about? Agave, cactuses, unconditional love.
I was going to tell you about
let them fall.
The desert cactus. I'm going all over the place, but the desert.
No, we're in
basically,
it.
Basically, it has its fucking that purple flower that blooms sometimes once in its entire centurion life, and so it's got that. That's a symbol of the unconditional love. But it also has its spines. You step on that motherfucker, guess what, Jack? You're going to the hospital.
Oh, you're going yeah, to the it'll sting you back. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it has thorns on it this big, and it could literally puncture your fucking chest and penetrate your own heart if you dove on.
Yeah, if you were falling down the hill.
Inattentively, yeah.
Wow, really? It could puncture your heart?
Dude,
oh, my God.
That's another thing. Agave plants, they used to call them the cowboy killer because they're very rigid, knife-like plant. You fall off your horse onto one of those
so
bitches.
Cool.
So, you know, you got to respect the space of an agave plant, of a cactus, but it still offers that purple flower of unconditional love, man. That's just something that...
What does the flower do to prove that it's unconditional love? Not that I don't like the idea. I just want to be devil's advocate.
It's not about a proof. It's just an interesting... It's just like
pretty.
A metaphor.
Well, there's proof in the hostility of the murder of its...
Does the flower
foe.
Do anything? Is the flower psychedelic? Does it like taste good in the tea? Does it like nurture you in any way? Or does
no,
it just
but,
look pretty?
But it all, yeah, but okay, it gratifies. It gratifies
visually
for us apes. It gratifies us visually. And
it just looks nice.
The first time I ever tripped on mushrooms was in Sedona, Arizona.
And the
like,
bees.
Why even bother blooming?
What's
why
that?
Even bother
the
blooming?
The bees love the look too.
Yeah. The bugs, the hummingbirds. Like it's not just about.
Us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not just about the apes.
We all
like,
love it.
Yeah.
Apes. We want to suck its nectar.
Think about the songs that it sings, man, that you don't really like hear in the way that you're used to hearing shit, but you walk past a grove of flowers and that song, that vibration of the color, of all that color, you know, color spectrum gotcha. Is just a series of vibrations moving at different speeds that we can perceive with our eyes.
Preaching to the choir.
So, like... Yeah, man, that's all I'm trying to say.
I love viewing the world through an understanding of governing principles. And
science is neat, and it's really neat when you pair it with like a little bit of spirituality. Because a lot of things in older cultures and religions and ideas are like founded in nature and the earth. And like you get weird, like fucking... The Native Americans knew what aspirin was. Like they got it from like or like witches and shit. They got it from like willow trees.
What is aspirin?
Willow
don't
bark.
Know.
It's willow bark. It's like a witch's potion,
that's
man.
What I'm saying.
You just boil like a willow tree and you boil bark and you fucking get fucking aspirin out of it. And it's one of the most crazy, fucking awesome. Little tiny low key drugs we have. It stops
dude.
Heart attacks and strokes, and it just makes you like get rid of average pain. It's not like heroin or nothing, but dude, I mean it's pretty fucking up there. It's like could you imagine no aspirin?
So
you don't get ibuprofen either. You don't get Aleve.
I've got this mindset that anytime you want to go buy something to solve a problem, if there's four things on the shelf. And one of them hasn't changed for 50 years.
God, that's right.
That's the one you buy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to go buy a hammer, I'm going to buy the hammer that's got a straight claw on the top. You know what I mean? Like, that hasn't changed for framing hammers for 50 years, you know? I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Something that's tried and true.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not here to lay the groundwork for a new revolution. I'm gonna make money like everybody else.
Done normal ass Acme mousetraps.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The American society has so much of an obsession with more equals more, and that's just not true. Like you don't need whatever kitchen object makes so much stuff. It's just not
capitalist consumer society. Like that's a lot of our carrots and sticks are like getting new shit and like being the hottest new house on the block and like having the coolest new toys and like people are encouraged to invent things and sell them, and people are really, really encouraged to buy those things.
Yeah.
Like, it's a part of the American way.
Yeah.
I know we don't produce a lot of things physically here, but we do come up with a lot of concepts. We really do. We do kind of, yeah.
Our GDP is, like, what, second or
it's
third?
It's pretty fucking good. And I'm just saying, we send rice to China, and you'd think, like, hey, if anybody's making rice and has extra rice, it wouldn't
Might
be America.
Be you know? You wouldn't suspect that China needed our rice. Yes, I would agree.
Get me on the line with the Kansas rice plug. Like, what the fuck is that sentence? Get me with the American rice plug.
It is crazy how we, like, it's just cheaper to ship things for 3 months over the ocean. Because, here's the thing, the most valuable commodity, as we said earlier, is time. And time is man hours. Labor is the most expensive commodity. And that's why things are shipped from overseas, because time is value.
There's only a couple jobs you can outsource.
Well, use time as value.
Yes.
There's plenty of
Well, time is value, but unused time is loss of value.
And the American dollar isn't backed by anything.
I think it's even deeper than that. I think extremely mismanaged time is the precise opposite. It's anti-value.
It's the loss of value.
I'm pointing directly at myself. I point one finger outward,
dude,
and four point at me.
You know the didgeridoo. You're a comedian. You know other instruments. You went fucking hiking the other day. Like, I know for a fact.
Chicks dig you.
You don't have as much waste of time as me.
Well, hey, man, it's all a perception of what you find meaningful. Like, I, you know, and how you're gonna criticize yourself. I'm a ruthless self-critic. I wish I could say that a lot of this stuff is coming from a place of just like pure childlike exploration and curiosity.
Trying to be better.
Yeah, just like the joy of learning. I wish I was more in touch with that more of the time. But a lot of times it's more of a conversation of me fucking up so deeply that I eventually or at least what I perceive to be like really slipping and fucking up, and sometimes objectively just slipping and fucking up. And I frustrate myself so deeply, and I get so down on myself that it's just like,
dude,
you're going to play the bass for 5 hours tonight, and like, you're going to be good at one thing. The first time I ever took acid, man, I ran 5 miles on a treadmill.
Wow.
And then
that's weird.
I had my eyes closed the whole time. I was crying. And
oh wow, yeah. Eyes closed on a treadmill.
Yeah.
That's trippy as shit.
It was a small dose of acid, but anyway, I took it at a pool party. My first dose of acid, and one of my friends who lived in the apartment complex, he was my neighbor, he had an acoustic guitar, and I always heard, like, you know, that story of Carlos Santana where he's at Woodstock,
okay.
And Jerry Garcia doses him with a big piece of acid in his drink or whatever, and he's up there with his guitar, and it turns into a snake, and it was, like, the best set of his life, because he's battling this fucking archetypical... mythological fucking something, dude, in his hands.
It's the serpent, man. It's the fucking hydra. It's the dragon. It's the
having the eternal struggle with good and evil up there, but it being expressed in the highest musical form possible.
This
is Carlos Santana.
Never did acid,
dude. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. So, anyways, he hands me the guitar, and I have this story in my
Carlos
head.
Carlos Santana hands you the guitar.
No. This kid from Hawaii named Dylan.
Yeah, yeah.
An acoustic guitar, and I start fucking with it, and it sounds like dog shit. And I'm like, I just bust into tears because I realized I was like 20, 21 years old, maybe, just turned 21. I was like, dude. And I talked earlier about how I failed at the acoustic guitar when I was young, and this just like, I had this moment where I was like, man, I've never really gotten good at anything I've ever tried. I've always like given up, and it hurt me deeply. And I really, it was one of those like a recognition of mortality. It's like, man, you have one lifetime to really like, as far as you really can tell,
you have one lifetime to just do stuff that is going to make you feel great and impact other people as you're feeling great.
That's the word, great?
Yeah.
You have to look for the word. Yeah, like, I hate it because it's not
good enough.
It's not my nature, but to become great at one thing means to neglect everything else.
Or you can learn this from that.
But then you'll be a jack of all trades. And that is viable, but it's not extraordinary.
I wonder.
Well, you could do it to a certain degree, and then it's like a video game. You can kind of go with the jack of all trades method for a little bit, and then you can hard spec into one thing, and then you're a little bit more versatile than other people, but maybe you're not quite as perfect as the one thing. But you can mix and match, dude. It's life.
Oh,
I
agree.
Your own fucking thing.
I am a jack of all trades. I mean, that's where I'm at. I have a master's degree in working. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Not a lot of room for complaints in the schools I've went to.
What all have you done? You're a carpenter right now. You're a contractor. You all right?
Yeah, luckily at this time I've finally figured out to become viable as an independent contractor.
What else have you done, dude?
Well, I mean, start.
To steal another Norm Macdonald joke, he used to jerk off punks for $10 a man underneath
the overpass. Exactly. I don't know if I could figure out all the jobs I've done. First job I ever did was paper route.
Okay.
Bicycles, paper routes, bag up all your own newspapers, throw them out. Second job, detasseling, which is pulling the sex organs off of corn.
Oh, what does that mean? What could that sentence possibly mean?
Well, I mean, they have the thing that produces pollen and the thing that receives pollen.
Well,
pollen's like sperm, and then they have another thing that receives it.
You said detumbling the sex organs off of corn.
Yeah, pulling them off, detaching.
Detaching.
So, if you if you detassel, and this is why...
Detassel.
Movie...
Where is the sex organ?
It's on the top, baby.
Is it this part?
Just the tip. That's what it is.
You snip the tip?
You got to yank the tip.
You pull it out.
That's right.
That sounds horrifying.
Like a root.
Dude. It is, dude. Now that I think about it...
somebody who's very empathetic...
Imagine a dream hell where a corn plant comes up to you and grabs your penis and pulls it out from the root. That's essentially what I did to hundreds and thousands of corn.
You have to do it to both sexes of corn?
A pink ape running through the cornfield.
It's only the male corn.
So a cornfield is planted in what they call panels. I don't want to get too Iowa on all y'all.
No, I figured it was something like this. That's how, it's like marijuana, guys. Just think of it like marijuana.
It's not really at all, actually.
Kind of a little bit.
I've grown both, and I...
okay, all
right. Colorado resident, right?
Exactly. Resident. Former Colorado resident. Point being is a cornfield is planted in what they call panels. There's four rows of females, and then each between that they have the male row.
Okay.
Right? And the male row, you don't detassel. And the tassel is the sex organ.
It's Africa.
The flower. The flower.
I'm just kidding.
And the flower is exposed to the air. The wind blows the pollen across the field, and all the females in the middle are pollinated.
Yeah.
But in a... genetically engineered corn, we don't want the females pollinated. We want them to be hermaphrodites. So we pull off their sex organs at the top.
The dude corns?
The female corns.
Oh.
The female corns are the four rows between the two dude corns.
Why do you even need the male corns at that point? Does it just the smell of the male corns wakes them up?
You're right. There must be a pollination. I'm a total idiot.
To a certain degree.
I'm a total idiot.
No, but you're right. It probably doesn't it's not an ingestion of pollen. Probably if there's a dude around like that. That's why they keep a bull around the cows.
I don't want to get too inside baseball because I see Alex losing interest.
I'm going into Trevor State.
But
corn, being perceptive.
Corn has a cob, and the cob is wrapped in a leaf, and out of the top of the leaf comes a thing called silk, corn silk.
Yes, familiar with that from the
corn
times.
Silk is what actually absorbs the pollen to pollinate the things.
So we eat mostly female corn.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't know why we pull the tassels of the female corn, but we do, and that's the brunt of the story. That was my second job. Can you believe it took us that long to figure
out? Yeah, no, but that's neat. I like that. I like the road we went down.
Yeah, yeah. That was my second. I actually started a protest from a non-unionized group of people in the corn blah, blah, blah. We were...
What the fuck?
We were in the...
How'd you start it?
So there's this group called Golden Harvest that would hire preteens to do all of their detasseling, you know, and then whip them like horses and drive them through the fields. And then as I explained earlier, there's four rows of corn between each. A normal way to detassel is to walk through two rows, one on each of your hands, look for the tassels, and pull them when you find them. They wanted us to do a full panel, which is double the workload, same price. And we were kids and assholes, so we were like, fuck that, we ain't doing it. And then we organized a protest.
How'd it work?
Well,
did you win?
Yeah, we did win. I don't know what they gave us, actually, now that I think back.
They sucked all our cocks.
I think that's what it was. They were like, any of you guys who want to just like sneak off and make out in the corner, we're going to allow that since you're fucking teenagers.
What?
I don't know what.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
We're all teenagers, man.
And you would make out with fellows?
There were ladies there, too.
Yeah, were female corn shuckers. There was women there.
Douglas, I mean, hey, who am I to judge? I appreciate your openness in the situation.
But
they're just wrestling friends.
Iowa has a rich wrestling culture. That's for goddamn
sure. I don't want to divert, but stay on the same topic.
Douglas
I did remember
a man
earlier.
In a cornfield.
Have you seen the movie...
Okay.
Have you seen the movie Signs with Mel Gibson?
Is that when did he did the CPR?
All of the aliens make these like...
Logan would have been the one at the table who survived that situation. Because you're fucking an alien. You would have had an asthma attack.
Exactly.
The alien came, was bearing down on all of us.
We're like, he couldn't breathe because of his asthma.
I'm a didge player. My shit's wide open. My diaphragm's open. I would have taken a full dose of the poison plus a little extra, and I would have smoked a blunt.
Dude, I remember the movie now. I always think of Swing for the Fences. That's it.
Swing Way.
No, if you know the movie Signs, you know that the heroine of the story, the hero.
Little girl.
No.
With her glasses of water.
Yeah,
brother-in-law. They're all heroines.
The heroine of the story has the aliens. They come into your house and spray poison into your lungs.
It's the same girl that was in Man on Fire.
And this girl fucking receives the poison and turns it.
Yeah,
because of her quote disadvantage in life, it turns into a superpower at the moment of crisis. And basically,
the odds were with her on that day.
I'm saying every weakness is a great opportunity to really be.
That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah, just because you're different doesn't mean you're broken.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
Logan said it better than both of us.
And so Logan Mihalko in this situation, you know, that inhaler, you just have to put it away.
It
would have
helped me
with
the aliens.
No, we just have to call you on stage at Ham Bones while you were out there smoking a bowl in the alley. And then when you grab the mic, yeah, you show up out of breath. The aliens come up. They fucking start doing CPR on you and humping your leg.
Yeah, that's nice. And you're fine. I like it when people hump my leg.
The scars are psychological.
I was going to remember that.
The scars are psychological and not fucking internal. Yeah. With your physical body.
It's just a tick now. It's just a tick.
Yeah, dude. I don't worry that I'm waking up in the night in fucking horror. Don't worry. No, I actually had asthma as a kid. Speaking of that,
wait, as an adult.
I guess both of you guys miraculously cured it.
I think we all need to roll around in this. Get your mic right.
God damn it! I think I sound fine in my headphones. How do I tighten this?
There it is.
Yeah.
Cool. I think I sound fine in my headphones, and then I'm a fucking noob when it comes to podcast. Even though I got insight and
Douglas, give me that deep, Sprite, bro,
deep
buddy.
Heart-bearing fucking insight to offer. My technological skills in learning this podcast game are still.
Can you keep talking like this and let me go pee real quick?
Yeah, dude, go fucking pee.
For a moment.
No,
I'll be right
hold
back.
Your piss until you
I'll
have
be
to
right
squirm.
Right back.
All right.
We got it.
Doug, what kind of pizza do you got in the fridge, bro? Does it have meat on it?
So, no, there's no meat on it.
Ooh, all right.
Is that what you're in?
I'm curious about it then, yeah. Especially because I'm looking at an oven. Could probably warm it up.
Broccoli cheddar.
Oh,
fuck yeah. Are you speaking my language, my native tongue?
I want to sell you on the idea of eating it cold.
Douglas, if it's an inconvenience to heat up the fucking
It's not oven, about the inconvenience. I think it's better cold.
I appreciate your perspective.
I've eaten it hot and cold. I'm the one who knows.
I appreciate your perspective. You're viewing it from your own palate. Me, I want that shit crispy, dog.
All right. I think
if it's on the table, I'm not trying to presume, you know.
This oven, we don't know how to turn on.
What?
It's a gas oven, so somewhere there's a shutoff valve, and I can't find it. Or I don't know what it looks like.
All right.
But the upstairs oven, electric.
Ooh.
Works.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Can I play some more Ditch for you guys, man? Or you want to keep talking? It's up to you. This is your fucking show, not some.
You
fucking
can ditch.
Yeah.
Dude, the show is a show.
Yeah. How much of this is going to be aired?
All of it.
Really?
100%.
All right. Would you please take out the part where I was talking, where I said you were talking about planting corn and you talked about basically giving clitorectomies to all the female corn.
Yeah.
And there was a row of male corn that didn't get, you know, its genitals
yeah,
mutated.
It just kept
mutilated.
And I said, just like Africa.
That's the one where I'm going to take that part out.
No, if you, Douglas, don't. No, I really would prefer.
There's no way to go back. You should have known that. I told you earlier.
What does that
when
mean?
Trevor said X's name, you have to say cut that out, and then I can look at the timer. That's all I got.
It's Douglas, lost now. It's lost.
Listen to this episode before you air it. I beg
no!
of you. What the fuck kind of?
No,
What do you think? I'm going to open that door? Any one of my guests can just make questions about editing? I'm not going to spend an extra hour editing the goddamn podcast.
This is a threshold he will not cross.
I have a PhD in working hard. I'm from Iowa.
No, this is techno stuff. This
you're
is
right.
work. This is recreation.
I got to renovate the house you're sitting in before I get fucking done with that one. I'll tell you that right now.
I know. I'm just fucking. But no, if you wouldn't mind.
It'd be real cool, buddy.
Really? No, really. I really am genuinely coming from that.
Wait. Are you worried about saying Africa?
I can promise you.
It's a horrible sentiment. I don't agree with what I said.
I can promise you, had you not.
That's a lot of genital mutilation.
Brought it up twice since you said it. No one would have ever remembered. And it's amazing.
Yeah, that reminds me of a time. It was one of the first times I was ever tripping on mushrooms.
Yeah.
And maybe the second time, honestly. And I was, this song came on and I started crying, which is a common theme in my psychedelic experience. It started like dribbling a little tears out of my eyes, you know what I'm saying? Sniffling a little bit. And I hear a group of people, females included, laughing to the left very hard. And to the left of me, and I was like, in my mind, I was like, fuck, man. They realize that I'm crying, and they think it's hilarious. They think I'm a fucking idiot. Like, damn. And I looked to the left to see, face my spiritual executioners. And I see, and when I look, all their attention is focused on our cat, Leo.
Yes, I knew that was something like that.
And I was like, oh, look at you thinking that everybody's just paying attention to you.
That's all of the us, time. Though, isn't it?
Yeah, especially in the stand-up community. My God, dude, that's a trademark of us fucking road clowns.
Dude, I used to play Grand Theft Auto, the online version of like 5 or 6 or whatever it was, a bunch way back in the day. And the guy, roommate I was with, was like, oh, let me check that out, blah, blah, blah. And he like built a little profile. And anytime anyone said, because he didn't have any experience online gaming at all, anytime anyone said, be like, blah, 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 and they'd like get pissed, he'd be like, he would think they were talking about him. And I'm like, dude, this is a three-dimensional like internet realm that is like 26 players deep. Everything that's said is not a direct relation to what's going on in your thumbs. Yeah, it's just like, that's us. Yeah. That's us.
Wait, he thought you were giving him direction?
No. He would hear the mic.
You're talking.
No.
Are we talking 5 or are we talking 4?
He would play the game and he would hear anyone mic'd up say some stupid shit.
And he would go do it. Or he would respond to it.
He would say, they're talking shit on me. But they weren't. They were just talking shit on one of the other 36 players that was in that room. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just us. We always assume if there's like a car that drives by and somebody yells something in the car, we assume they're yelling it at us. But there's a car load of people in that car.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, somebody could have just got the best blowjob of their life. And they're like, yes, I'm so happy to be alive. And you're like, yeah, you're a gunt too. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Talk shit on me. I don't know. I think I'm a little too drunk to continue. How do you
All right, well, let's sign off.
I'm doing great.
Alex, plug your upcoming shows.
All right, well,
you since can, COVID's in town.
You can check my my OnlyFans on Instagram if you'd like to see me jerking off into a cantaloupe. Because that
Does that count as jerking off?
That is my prime.
Are you, are you fucking the cantaloupe? Yeah. Or are you jerking off into it? Like are you jerking off and then finishing in it? Or are you like fucking it?
I think I made myself perfectly clear. When I said I'm jerking off into a cantaloupe.
So did you carve it like you were going to eat it? And you're like, oh, this could use a little bit of topping.
He cut it in half.
I carved it like a Halloween pumpkin with a smile. Because I'm about the consensual life.
Is it like an O-fish? Is it like,
no,
like that? No, it's just a smile?
It's a classical smile.
Is that what you're about?
Logan, I want to feel appreciated for the viscosity of my loads. So,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, if you want to... check out my OnlyFans. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have any shows. I'm fucking pissed off. If you want to come listen to me play fucking didgeridoo in a field while I'm tripping on mushrooms, like telepathically communicate and get a hold of me. But otherwise,
take
Instagram,
mushrooms that same day and talk to him.
No, just if you want to receive fucking trippy didgeridoo playing
via the third dimension.
I've been taking mushrooms for trying to get to Alex Coyne. Right. I've been taking these for a month and he hasn't answered me.
I transmit every night.
You're not initiated.
5 o'clock. After work is over, he should be listening.
One day it'll all make sense. Okay, do you want to know how I met my music teacher before we sign out?
You signed up for classes. Talking, let me guess. You signed up for classes.
No.
Damn it. That was a way worse story.
We're talking about my dude, Porangi. He's the man.
Porangi.
And I smoked DMT. For the first time, like 2 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah, 5-MeO-DMT, that
Joe Rogan shit. The frogs.
Yeah.
The frog skin.
The Colorado Desert Toad powder. So, smoked it out of this specialized pipe and with two of my very best friends. And we were listening to Porangi, and the vision that came through was like, I took this exhale and I died. Like, my soul, as I exhaled, my soul left my body and, like, I had this limitation, this veil that I had the choice to go through. It was like, all right, here, you're at the very edge of your own thought. This is the edge of your mind. Do you wish to unzip it and go further? And I was like, yeah, let's get it. And there was like a zipper on a dome. I exhale. My soul, like an Alex Gray painting almost, floats through the zipper, through this opening in the fucking firmament or whatever, in the atmosphere of what I used to think was possible. And Porangi is just playing, it's, what's the album? Ayahuasca, the original, not even the remix. Fucking fire, dude. Great. One of the best albums ever, dude.
Hmm.
And I have, one of the primary things I was struggling with is like resistance in my creative pursuits, because I had this deeply rooted belief that if I really expressed myself and told the truth to the best of my ability, then I would be assassinated by people who are at every level opposed to the truth and opposed to, we all struggle with that as artists. And Martin Luther King came to me to tell me like, and John F. Kennedy told me like, hey, listen, death is not as scary as you think. Your existence is very important. Like, really put out what you are here to put out. And whatever happens to you, you're going to be okay. So really go for it. And so that's what I've been trying to do from then on. So I talked about Martin Luther King. The first time I met Porangi, been listening to him for years. He's doing a free festival opening up for the Desert Dwellers in Washington, D.C. at Kennedy Park. No bullshit. Kennedy fucking Park. On top of the stairs leading up to the Lincoln Memorial. And guess who made his I Have a Dream speech on those very stairs?
Martin Luther King.
Jesus.
Isn't that, yeah.
I was so close.
Pretty, yeah, I mean, same energy, different time period. Right? Like, Martin Luther King stood on those very stairs and offered his speech. And so I went up to Purangi after his set, and I was like, hey, man, do you have a minute? He's like, we're packing up. We're about to go. And I'm like, do you teach? And he's like, yeah, but not frequently. But here's my email. And I hit him up. And but it's just like, it's just one of those things, man. When life is meant to be.
You should follow up.
Oh, no, I'm a student currently. Yeah,
he's your man.
Yeah, he's one of my very best
friends. Where
does
he operate out of?
He lives in Sedona, where the first place I ever ate mushrooms.
And you got to, how do you do that for classes?
Skype.
Smart.
Yeah.
The world is mine.
My grandma took me to Sedona when I was little. Are you familiar with that crazy like church set in the stone? I was like, yeah, let's end this a minute ago, and here I am full of stories. So,
I know about the church set in the stone.
Yeah,
yeah, David Koresh started it, right?
I don't think it was David Koresh.
That was in like a barn.
Not that church?
No, different one.
He was in Texas, not Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was in Corpus Christi or something. But,
Michael from Waco.
My grandma, yeah, Waco. That's right, Waco, Texas. My grandma took me.
Do you come from there?
You come from Waco?
No, but I have family in Texas, but not in Waco.
Nearby, though.
But the Waco from Waco was like a headline back then.
The woman that I love is from Texas. She's from Austin.
Does she know that you love her?
Texas is fucking straight up logical world.
Does she love you back?
Seriously.
I think so, man. I don't want to get into it in this podcast, but
good for you, buddy.
Should we sign off? Yes. Logan, your show's coming up.
I'm going to start streaming on...
Pornhub.
No. On YouTube, I'm going to play video games and talk about history.
Chat roulette.
Ooh.
I did it already once, but I don't think it recorded most of my voice. So I got to figure out how to do that correctly.
We'll look for you on Twitch or YouTube?
YouTube mostly, but maybe I'll get Twitch up and going. But yeah. I'm either Logan Mihalko, like exactly how it's spelled in the podcast. You spell my name right, M-I-H-A-L-K-O.
Yeah, you'll know him because he has an egg for a goddamn head character.
Well, no, he's a coward.
No, I know. That's only on Twitter, man. I got an egg.
That's only on Twitter.
On Facebook, it's a silhouette.
No, it's not. On Instagram, I got my medical marijuana ID card. All right. I don't use Facebook or Twitter, really.
Logan,
you're not committed
Logan,
to the hustle.
Everyone knows how to spell Logan. Spell Mohawk.
L-O-G-A-N-M-I-H-A-L-K-O.
He's a hell of a guy. He knows about history.
A little bit.
He knows a fierce amount about history.
What's your favorite sock med, as we like to call it? Sock med? Yeah, social media, sock med.
Dude, if you want to get a hold of me for real, I've talked about the telepathic communication and stuff. Okay. And that's really an option. If you want to get a hold of me telepathically
reach Alex
Coyne. When are you tuning in, Alex?
Or even some deep breath in cold water, and you want to get a hold of me telepathically, I'm cool with that. Or you can hit me up on Instagram.
I'm just imagining a
What's your Instagram handle? I have to pee.
This guy is levitating a pineapple and also talking to me telepathically. And then he levitates the pineapple into his own ass. All right, listen to me. So, Instagram.
Pineapples aren't good for buttholes.
Whammy. We've done it again. We completed an episode. It's more like a two-part episode. So it's almost two episodes. The first one was only like 46 minutes. I'm not going to lie. I can't remember how long exactly. Second one, though. Well, what'd you think? Boy. It's good to have people over, though, you know? To have people over to your house and talk to them a couple times a week. It's very interesting. Something else. We don't have a sponsor of this show, but we do have a running featured artist. Here on the B-Sides, we have at the drive-ins Relationship of Command, released the year 2000, running theme for the episode. As you'll remember, One Arm Scissor was the song featured in last episode. I'm sure you were all regged out about it. That being said, Today is not the hit off the album, if One Arm Scissor could be considered a hit. It got some time, that's for sure. But today we have something that's almost unpronounceable. I had to look it up on Google. I wonder if my Google phone will do that. Let me see here. Ooh, here. Enfilade. That's how you say it, guys. Enfilade. Is what we're going to look at. Now, I never looked up the word. I looked it up just so that I could hear what it said, and it said... Enfilade. And then I was like, what does that mean, Google? So then I looked, and it says it is a noun. It is a volley of gunfire directed along a line from end to end. They were mown down by an enfilade of artillery. Example given. Interesting word. Today's song is... See, better go back. Today's song is Enfilade by At the Drive-In off of our featured album of Relationship of Command. And I always thought this would make a good action movie song, you know? It feels like, I mean, it is. Well, you just listen. A story.